Number one.
A resolution by Supervisor Bowen requesting that facilities management and procurement staff of the Department of Administrative Services, the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Health and Human Services issue a request for proposals for the provision of housekeeping and janitorial services in county facilities. At the May 12th County Board meeting, this item was referred back to the Committees on Transportation, Public Works and Transit, and Finance, Personnel, and Audit.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to use this opportunity to also have the departments weigh in on where we are in the process on this contract.
So they can come for it.
If the administration and
Mr. Tyler, Mr. Lee, and Mr. North.
And Mr. North as well.
Patrick Lee, Department of Administrative Services Procurement.
Rick Norris, Director of Community Business Development Partners.
And Don Tyler, Director of Administrative Services.
Okay, Mr. Lee and Mr. Norris, we had a meeting. Are we still on the same track, or are you going to blindside me too?
Chairman,
just say no or yes.
No.
Okay, go right ahead, please.
We're here to answer any questions, provide any input, but also acknowledge and support the supervisor's efforts to have the Department of Administrative Services procurement assist in issuing an RFP for janitorial and housekeeping services for Milwaukee County.
Mr. Lee, can you state what we're going to be within the RFP?
As an RFP is an evaluative process, taking in consideration both technical skills of a vendor and price considerations, we anticipate to develop technical requirements of specific vendor that the vendors will need to respond to. They will be gone through an evaluative process by an evaluation committee. Criteria will be clearly spelled out as it was in the last RFP of those particular requirements. There will be an associated cost component within the RFP for which the vendors will be required to state the costs related to the particular acquisitions and the services requested. Those scores will be combined in order to develop a highest scoring proposer, and we'll enter into negotiations with the highest scoring proposers. Historically, there have been questions related to the disadvantaged business enterprise participation, and I'll have Director Norris speak to that, but I'm solely supportive of his efforts as we've had discussions with both supervisors and the CBDB department. As it relates to specifically bundling or unbundling in this particular RFP, we will make every effort to make buildings or building groups available to firms to bid on as they see fit. Again, it's the procurement department's desire to create a competitive environment, a transparent environment, and a fair environment for all proposers and bidders or proposers in order to seek the business of Milwaukee County. If you would like detailed specifics, I can give you as much as I know right now. Any questions?
Mr. Lee, thank you. Mr. Norris.
Mr. Chair and supervisors, we've been working very diligently with the procurement department, and we feel very comfortable that the RFP going out now, particularly as it unbundles the contracts, will provide an opportunity for firms, particularly our disadvantaged businesses, to be in a position of winning those contracts as prime. In addition to that, there's opportunities for DBE firms to be a substantial sub as well. So when you look across the entire contract procurement, you have an opportunity for DBE firms to be prime, in certain areas, as Director Lee has said, and also to be a sub on some other contracts as well.
Tyler, I'm glad you are here. Can you, just a second, can you explain the letter that you sent to DC 48 and also Carver County County Board? Because I'm trying to get some clarity about exactly what you're trying to do.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, the communication that I sent out to DC 48 was required from our understanding, getting counsel from Corp Counsel, that to the extent that we are potentially contemplating, thinking about, considering various options, that I am compelled to communicate to DC 48. At this point, am just simply, as we're gearing up for the budgeting process, wanting to think about, wanting to discuss, wanting to contemplate the possibility of contracting out at a much broader level. I don't have any specific plans to share because I don't have any plans at this point. But since it was something that, I am thinking about, I felt compelled and required to communicate to DC 48. This is regarding, I think, the letter I sent regarding real estate management services, whereas those real estate management services may also incorporate the responsibility of housekeeping, security, and certain maintenance capabilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of the resolution. I appreciate that we've seemingly made some progress, that we're at least not sitting here debating the value of unbundling and some of the things that we did in the past. That was just bizarre to me that we were having some of that debate the last time. Not sure what to do with that last comment, though, about So I won't go there. I'm sure that's a future item. It sounds like we're going to outsource the entire operation, or that might be the plan. It's certainly not something I'm supportive of at this time, but I would move adoption of this resolution.
We do have a motion to move approval. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly don't want to debate the value of bundling or unbundling, but I do want to understand how are we defining unbundling? Does that mean separating out services on a building-by-building basis, or what does that mean exactly?
Well, I can take an initial shot at that, and Director Lee can comment, if you will. What we looked at is looking at the different departments and areas and what type of services going to be provided. And then as Director Lee had indicated, looking at some of the technical services and segregating those out so that it wouldn't be tied into a particular contract where it may exclude DBE firms or the opportunity for proposing on it as prime. The rule of thumb is basically about the square footage of the areas that need to be served. And that's what the firms, contractors do. They look at square footage and to see how if it's something that they can manage. So we intelligently looked at each segment, each location, and unbundle it properly so it can provide those opportunities for, and where I'm primarily interested in, our DBE firms winning opportunity to be prime and to also be a subcontractor in those other areas where those other areas where they cannot be prime. So basically, where I'm coming from, all DBE opportunities are covered either as a sub or as a prime. You care to add any more to that, Pat?
Chairman, Supervisors, without getting back into the murky waters of the definition of unbundling, I believe it was the intention or at least the express intent of the committees that I have appeared for previously on this particular subject that the methodology that was used in vendor rationalization or the consolidation in buildings, that it was felt that it may have precluded an opportunity for individuals to business enterprises to bid on a, quote, smaller portion of the business. Not going back into the other RFP. So I believe we are going to be moving forward related to providing smaller business increments that may provide a technically adept firm to be able to handle those smaller buildings or a smaller chunk of our business and compete with, let's say, a firm that may be able to handle a larger piece of our business. They will all be scored equally, be it they a small business or a large business, across their skill sets, but they very well may have the opportunity to focus on, I just want this one particular set of buildings. The word unbundling is, and Director Norris maybe continue to speak to this, but is a nebulous, is it unbundling a particular building into segments? It makes more sense. It certainly makes sense of the construction business, the definition, but is it, Bill, for us it always has been difficult, but we've gotten clarity through the supervisors' committee processes. Is it breaking down buildings, or is it breaking down particular components of service to those particular buildings? Let's say carpet cleaning across all buildings versus a vertical integration for all business aspects within, or cleaning business within a particular building. What I can assure is that with CBD's participation, cooperation, and being very forthcoming in this acquisition, is if the CBD goal is, again, 25% on this particular acquisition, we have every reason to believe and every reason to encourage that we will achieve somewhere within these agreements a 25% DBE participation within this acquisition and fulfill that particular mission.
Thank you.
Before we speak, I was kind of rude to Mr. Drancic. Mr. Drancic has been working with me. I'm just frustrated with the state and what's been going on. I want to apologize for saying you didn't blindside me, but the third floor have not been working. But I will continue to work with you, Mr. Drancic. I think that you're a fair person. Supervisor Washam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this janitorial services, does this include anything with VHD?
At this present time, we anticipate initially just to go out with the buildings that are not operated by the Department of Health and Human Services related to the BHD. Although it is the direction of this particular resolution to do that, I think we'll seek input from Department of Health and Human Services to meet their particular needs if that meets with your approval. Direct answer to your question, no, we do not anticipate it, the initial one, to go out with that in there. Although we do anticipate it to include the COG Center, which is operated by the Department of Facilities Management.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, that's all.
Any other comments? Supervisor Jersey.
Just to kind of recap where we've been. I mean, we've been going around with this housekeeper's contract since budget time. And it got hung up in some of the DBE issues, and I appreciate the whole discussion about bundling and unbundling. We also have gone through the living wage amended in finance so that the RFP makes it clear that this will be an RFP that goes out with a living wage piece to it. I guess my question is, and maybe more appropriate to the author, I'm not sure, are we getting ready for next budget year on this? Are we still trying to get information to implement this year? And if so, then my concern is going to be, with the increased costs, how are we going to pay for it? So what are we doing here?
Mr. Chair and Supervisor, What we are doing, and I'll look to Patrick for clarification on this as well, our expectation is that we will go out with the RFP. Most likely that this will be for 2015. Expectation is that the current contracts that we have in place will be good through the end of the year. That's the expectation.
And as I understand, the current cost we have, the current contract we have is a month to month, which at this point is certainly going to be less cost than whatever an RFP brings back because it's not under the living wage ordinance. So, I mean, if we're getting ready for next year, then I guess I can ask the questions where we're getting the money when we take a budget.
Chairman, supervisors, I believe a direct answer to your question is that should we issue an RFP and engage in a contract that presumably will have a higher cost for the balance of this year? I do not know where the money is going to be coming from in relationship to future years. I believe as part of a fiduciary responsibilities, the director provided an opportunity to enter into an extended agreement with a stated objective of cost avoidance of what's anticipated to be about a $900,000 increase in cost, for example, in 2015. We chose not to avail ourselves of that opportunity. And so through the budgeting process, I assume we're going to have to find the additional funds, or the departments are going to have to cut back on related services and cleaning services.
Well, here's a real basic question. When you go out for the RFP, are you identifying a start date?
We anticipate as soon as getting it out. The answer is yes. The RFP will have an anticipated start date. If we issue it as soon as, let's say, the middle of June, last time it took approximately 4 months and took us approximately 16 months not to get the particular contractor approved. So do I anticipate possibly getting this through a process between now and the end of the year? I'm only marginally optimistic. So I would say somewhere at the earliest, the beginning of the fourth quarter.
That doesn't exactly jive with what Mr. Tyler said.
Mr. Chair and Supervisor, the expectation is that it would probably be effective 1/1/15 based on the fact that we have current contracts in place, and provided that the current providers are providing adequate service, we would expect it to be effective at the beginning of next year.
Mr. Chair, I note the fiscal note says no cost on this, and I understand the fiscal note. If all we're doing is going out for an RFP, then my understanding would be, based on the RFP and the evaluation process, you're going to come back to us with a contract proposal. At that time, we're going to address cost. Is that so? I have no objection to going out for an RFP. I was not in favor of the living wage. Not that I don't think people shouldn't earn a living wage, but no one has ever identified for me how the county's ever going to pay for this. We're not in charge of our own destiny when it comes to adding revenue sources. So I still don't understand that piece, but I don't object to an RFP process to get the information. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to clarify Supervisor Jarczyk's concerns about cost. And if you're referring to cost from the original contract, I think we cleared that up, that it would not be, I want to clarify this with administration, that there would not be an increased cost from the current contract, the month-to-month contract with the current providers. It's not like we're renewing this contract every month. It is a contract that's set until a, you know, both parties figure that
no,
it needs to change or it expires.
Since it's on a month-to-month basis, there will be no increase. From our understanding of the living wage ordinance, these contracts would continue on as they are right now with no additional costs until they are terminated and new contracts are in place.
Excellent. And then I also wanted to clarify from the RFP process, I mean, the last time we had, I believe, Finance Committee, and this item was in front of us, the president of Clean Power, the awardee of the last RFP, noted that they could take care of paying employees at the rate of the living wage, or and it's in the same amount of the last quoted number. Wouldn't that tell us that we can move forward with an RFP and expect numbers to be around the same amount that we saw in the last RFP?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I think the feedback that we received anecdotally is that there would, we don't know what the pass-through would be because we're going to RFP it, and we hope that there will be zero pass-through in terms of a living wage increase. But we don't know until the RFPs come back in as to whether there would be a 100% pass-through, a partial pass-through, or zero pass-through. We just don't know until it it comes out. I don't know whether Clean Power, the CEO of Clean Power, had suggested that there would not be a pass-through at Finance. I don't know if you can elaborate. I don't remember him saying that.
So we're really not here to talk about Clean Power. We're not here to talk about the... We have ordinance about the living wage. So, I mean, that living wage. Living wage.
Yeah.
So, let's keep on this resolution, because we can go to finance. This is a finance. We are actually, they don't need our approval for an RFP. What I have to give Mr. Lee and Mr. Norris, thank them for coming forth, sat down with Supervisor Boyer and myself, listened to our concerns. They added some of the issues that we had into the RFP process. The only thing we are doing right now is say, yes, go back ahead and do what they have to do. They have worked with us. They informed us what they're trying to do, and that's what we're trying to be here right here. The living wage, take it to finance, and then deal with that. But let's deal with this so we can get out of here. We should have been out here a long time ago. I could go with Supervisor Taylor on this one. Okay. Supervisor, let's go against Supervisor Alexander.
All right, so briefly, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate what you're saying, and I thank you for the work that you did on this to get it here. But just briefly, if I can elaborate on what I think Supervisor Bowen was saying, because I think it's responsive to Supervisor Jurczyk's question about whether it's an increased cost.
We're going to give you a little leeway. Come on, let's go. I'm trying to get back into that nice mode.
I won't go back and forth. I just want to, I mean, it talks to how competitive this is, that the incumbent was in front of committee trying to amend his contract and saying he could stick to a price because he doesn't want the risk of the RFP. But he was saying he could meet the new requirements. And we were told he couldn't amend his contract. That's how we got here.
Okay.
But that's how competitive this is, that he was willing, he was sitting at the table trying to get his deal through.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we move forward with this resolution and a new RFP is put out, and we go through this unbundling process, seemingly to make it easier for small businesses to be able to compete with the larger, more established businesses, chances are that some of those small businesses bidding are going to have 20 or less employees, because that's how we've defined a small business. And in the living wage ordinance, the author exempted small businesses with 20 or less employees from complying with the living wage ordinance. So if we're thinking about what is this going to cost us, I mean, I still stand by the living wage ordinance is going to cost us either a lot of money or a lot of decreased services. However, for the item in front of us, if the question is how is this going to fluctuate cost, if we achieve the goal of unbundling that's in the resolution, then technically there shouldn't be a lot of increased costs because we're getting around the living wage requirement because the author put an exemption in. Thank you.
On that note, mm-hmm. you have a comment?
No, I would like to move the item forward.
Okay.
And
on that note, unless nobody from this committee, and Tom Sirwicki?
Stuffwicki.
You only want for information in case. That's right. I'll just make sure I do analogy. And thank you as well. Madam Clerk, call the roll on item number one.
Weishaupt?
No.
Borkowski?
No.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
No.
Taylor?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
3 ayes, 4 noes. The motion to recommend this item for adoption fails.
But it goes to the board.
With the recommendation to reject.
No, actually, this referred back to us. So we got two things in front of us.
Right.
No.
Okay. Any other thing? Anything else? And I will really thank the committee for coming in for the special meeting. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.